Diane, do you want to go first?
Sure. I asked for just 1 year of taxes, what the code requires, along with the 60-day of pay advices. Recently, I've started asking for 90 days worth of bank statements, but it's really only for my state exemption cases so that I can verify what was in the account on the day it was filed. We all use Trustee Solutions, so that has a third-party portal, and of course, that's so much easier when debtors' attorneys will use that. I think the previous trustee in my district didn't use that. Maybe it was emailed. So it's slowly debtors' attorneys are learning to use the portal system just because it's safer for everybody versus emailing, especially now that we need driver's license and proof of their social security number. I love it going through the third party portal. And, you know, when we switched over to telephonic, I was pretty amazed at how many debtors' attorneys could still get that information quickly, considering people were on stay-at-home orders. So it was just, it's great to see that they're complying, everybody's complying.
Lori?
I just asked for the last 2 years' tax returns, and just to make sure, you know, everything looks like what it says it is, and that the income in the SOFA matches the tax returns. I don't ask for anything else unless I notice something strange or something about a non-exempt asset I don't understand, or if someone has a strange living situation or income situation, or there's a trust and there's support from family, just, you know, something that's odd. Then I just ask for what I think I can, what I think will help me answer the questions in my mind.
I've had a couple of questions come in from the audience. The first is whether debtor's counsel during COVID will be allowed to translate for the debtor. Have the rules been relaxed so that that can occur?
Yes. I haven't had trouble using the third-party translator service that we're encouraged to use, but the guidance I saw from the U.S. trustee was that the usual rule that you have to do that is relaxed in extraordinary circumstances. And I've had situations where family members have translated and whereas debtor's counsel will have someone on staff do the translation.
Diane and
that's the same for mine too. Our guidance was that we can relax the rules, and mine was a family member that translated. And they were on a separate line too, so that way I could record all of the questions and answers.
And I've had two translations during the pandemic, and they were both people who worked in debtors' counsel's office, and that worked out really well.
All right. Second question is, we earlier had a discussion about whether in the schedules, if property is noted on the schedules, but then it says this is not listed as the debtor's property, this is the debtor's spouse's separate property that did not come into the estate, or this is the debtor's spouse's sole management community property that did not come into the estate. Two sub-questions out of that. First is that helpful to you to have that listing? And second, if you, having seen that listing, then put out a no asset report where you abandon all the property of the estate, do you think that precludes you from then coming after the spouse and saying, well, that was not listed as estate property, and therefore we didn't abandon it, and I now wanted you to pay it over to me?
I always find that information helpful to have. When there's a non-filing spouse, I always ask, you know, what assets, if any, are held by that non-filing spouse. So if it appears in the schedules, that's helpful. I've also had situations where there was significant property and I asked for an affidavit from the non-filing spouse that nothing was excluded in the reporting. That's another way to sort of close the circle on it. As to your second question, I'm not sure whether I would be precluded if an asset from going after an asset of non-filing spouse. If it wasn't reported, I think I'd have a pretty good argument. But if it was fully reported and I've already abandoned it, then I think I'm in a tougher situation.
I think I agree with Chris. I know even as a in my debtor's practice, I do always disclose all property owned by the non-filing spouse. And as to the second question, I think we may be precluded. I mean, I don't see how it could change the characteristic later on. I mean, if they disclosed it and we made a determination that it was not property of the estate, I don't think it would change its characteristic later on, unless, of course, something was said that was dishonest and we later found out that it was dishonest.
Lori, do you have thoughts on this?
Oh, I don't have much to add, except I would think I'd probably run that all the way to the end of its course before declaring the asset a no asset case, you know, just in case that issue, just in case the conclusion.